Welcome to Ipsa Dixit, a podcast on legal scholarship. I'm your host, Brian L. Fry, Spears Gilbert Professor of Law at the University of Kentucky College of Law. My guest is Naomi Sunshine, Director in the Public Interest Law Center and Supervising Attorney in the Immigration Rights Clinic at NYU Law School. And we're going to be talking about her family history and about applying for renaturalization as a German citizen under recently enacted German law. So welcome to the show, Naomi. It's great to see you again after so many years.
Yeah, great to see you, Brian. I don't know if your listeners know, but we went to law school together long ago. So good always to connect with old classmates.
Yeah. Well, so I was wondering, Naomi, if you could start by saying a little something about your family history and about how you came to hear about the possibility of reclaiming German citizenship.
Yeah, so my grandparents were German Jewish refugees to the US. My mom, their daughter, was born and raised in New York City. And I was quite close with them. My grandfather died when I was 16. My grandmother lived, till I was in my 40s. And I spent a lot of time with them, and they had, they both had siblings that also had lived in New York, and a big family. I later learned they had a big family that they lost in the Holocaust. And my grandmother actually talked about growing up in Germany all the time. She talked about her childhood in Germany all the time. With fondness, really. And she talked about getting kicked out of school under the Nazis in the 30s. She talked about her father had a kosher butcher, wasn't able to have the kosher butcher anymore. And there were those things that were talked about pretty commonly, especially as she got older. And then there were definitely family secrets to people who were murdered by the Nazis, suicides, my great-grandfather's store being destroyed on Kristallnacht. So there were other stories I didn't hear as much of. But, so I knew we had this history. It was no secret. I mean, I called my grandparents Omi and Opa. In terms of knowing about the possibility of reclaiming German citizenship, I actually vaguely knew about it. I mean, I remember years and years ago seeing advertisement in the back of the Forward newspaper, or maybe even the New York Times, like print copy. So that was a long time ago, but I never thought about it really until, honestly, the Trump administration and a feeling like, oh gosh, I can never have too many passports. I can talk about my feelings about it and family's feelings about it, but it's not straightforward.
Yeah. Sure. What part of Germany was your family from?
My grandmother was from Mannheim, which is in the north, I believe. And my grandfather was from Elmshorn, which is near Hamburg. And they had met once in Germany and then met again in English class in New York.
So they met after coming over, right? And what were their experiences like? Do you know when they left, what the context was, how they managed to get out of Germany?
Yes. Let's see. So my grandmother, it became clear in the 30s that they had to get out, or had to try to get out. And my grandmother's parents, or maybe she signed up for a program to go to Palestine and to learn to, I think they were going to be on a kibbutz. And she learned to cook for lots of people, which she talked about some funny stories of making too much rice, like not having known how to cook, trying to make a rice for a bunch of people and just having so much extra rice and having to make like rice pudding and rice dishes for a week because they had made way too much. Remember that story. And then the family decided that she would join. She had one brother already who had been sent to the US to apprentice to like a cousin who was a cabinet maker and be a cabinet maker. And they decided that they would be better off, the family would be better off if the children were in the same place as opposed to in different places. They would be have a better chance of getting more people out. So that is why she came to New York. And I know my grandfather also came, obviously separately. And there are stories about my great uncle and his parents. So this is my grandfather's side. They didn't they had tickets to be on the St. Louis, and they didn't get visas in time. And because they didn't get visas in time, they weren't on the St. Louis, which I'll assume some knowledge of that background story. But basically, very briefly, the St. Louis was a ship, German Jewish refugees who sought in the U.S., in South America, in lots of places to try to land, and were not given entry anywhere in the world, and went back to Germany. And I think I don't know the fate of all those people on that ship, but many were murdered in the Holocaust. My great uncle and his mother and stepfather were not on that ship. They went to Shanghai, which is a whole other story. So I could talk for hours just about family stories. I mean, I know it's sort of unique because there's a real silence in a lot of refugee families. But I did learn a lot about how people got out and things like that.
And was this were these stories you knew before you thought about this renaturalization process, or did you learn additional stories or additional information as you were preparing for that process?
They were all stories I knew before renaturalization. I'm trying to think. When I looked at my grandfather's documents, which is what I used, I mean, there were, I guess I learned some, I had some, a little bit more information. I mean, he had his report cards. My mom, when I said I wanted to do it, my mom had a lot of documents, I knew, so I had to ask her for them, and she was very reluctant for me to do this. She felt like she couldn't understand why I would want to be a citizen of a country that had done all the horrible things that it had done to my family and to Jews. Her parents, they went back once to visit their father's grave, and they didn't stay overnight. They like crossed the border in the morning, went to visit his grave, and left. So it was really, my mom didn't buy German products. Like it was really verboten, as you had mentioned before. But so she was not happy about my doing it at first. But she did agree to give me the documents, and I saw, as I said, my grandfather's report cards and some sort of funny little things about his behavior in school. And also, I saw the Nazi stamp on his passport, and pictures of him when he was young in the passport. So that, and just places that he'd travel. So that was interesting, but I didn't have any like big discoveries when I started doing this.
What was the process like when you decided that you were going to apply? Sort of what initially, I mean, you mentioned the Trump administration, but anything more specific would be interesting, like sort of how you learned specifically about it or what prompted you to do that. And then like what kind of documents did you gather for the process? And sort of what was it like? What did you have to do in order actually like realize the renaturalization?
Yeah, so I started with some internet research. I found that the law had changed in 1975, which is after I was born. And before that, you could only get citizenship through through your father, and it's my mother whose parents were German. So, and I wasn't sure if people like me who were born out before 1975 were grandfathered in, and I couldn't really get an answer to that question. And I think in the end, it turned out to be one of those, I'm a lawyer, I'm overthinking this. And I know other people who've gotten citizenship. So my wife got her Polish citizenship, which she was able to get, having unrelated to the fact that she's Jewish, but just because her great grandfather was Polish. Her grandfather was Polish. But that was much more difficult. They needed a lawyer. I do have the sense that Germany wants to make this, not to make this too onerous for people. And I was lucky. I had my mother had her grand her father's passport, her father's birth certificate. I'm trying to think what else I needed. I needed my grandparents' marriage, for some reason, I don't know why. I needed my grandparents' marriage certificate, my parents' marriage certificate. Obviously my mom's birth certificate, my birth certificate connecting me with my grandfather. Trying to think what else. I think I needed a cert his nat my grandfather's naturalization certificate, or yeah. I needed to show that, and this was one thing that surprised me, but it makes sense that he wasn't already a citizen of another country when he was denaturalized from Germany. So, he didn't get his citizenship in the US until sometime in the 40s. So, but I had to show that. I also learned that if you don't have all the documentation, Germany will like search their records for you. And I also knew that my grandparents got reparations from Germany. So I knew that somewhere there was a record that they had been denaturalized, that they had been exiled, basically, and that they were Jewish, and they were in the class of people that the law, the renaturalization law applied to. Now, it's not a, you mentioned it's a new law. It's not such a new law. I don't know off the top of my head how recent it is, but I think it's been around for a while. And there have been changes, things about children being born out of wedlock and things like that, but and expansions, but it's been around for a while.
Yeah, I think the main reason I heard about it was some of these expansions made it easier and included additional people who hadn't previously been included. But I didn't realize it had been in existence for such a long time. So the application has to be done in German. I don't know if you speak any German, or did you have someone who was able to help you, like filled out? And if where did you find
I
them?
so I so I actually found when in my research I came across a form that was translated into English, or online I could translate it into English. Like they had an English version of the form, I think on the New York consulate's website, maybe the German consulate in New York's website. And they also and I actually got in touch with them and I asked them about it, and they said, well, you don't actually need to fill out this form, but if it's helpful to you, you can. Or it's helpful to us because it like gathers all the information. You don't need to fill out this form though. You can just give us the documents. So
Really?
I did fill out the form, and it had, I mean, it so there wasn't a translation problem, but all this information, like when my grandparents came, where everything that was, I mean, maybe I'm maybe a bit unique because I didn't have to really go searching for documents. And my mom knew a lot and is still alive and still healthy and, of sound mind. Grandparents, of course, were not, but so it wasn't too onerous in that sense.
So that's really interesting because, like, if you go to the website, it looks like there's a lot of requirements that it sounds like they're not stringent about actually expecting you to satisfy.
I mean, maybe I did. I think I did have all the requirements. Now I want to go back and look and see. But I mean, the process is, I can't speak for the German consulate, but the process is supposed to be kind of the opposite of any other immigration process or naturalization process where they're just trying to keep you out and erect barriers. They're supposed to try to make it as easy on you as possible. That's why I know they do say that they will search their records if you don't have something. Like I didn't end up finding, I thought maybe I could find a receipt from like when my grandparents got reparations, but yeah, I'm sure they like threw them out every month when they cashed the check. I didn't have that kind of receipt, but again, I did have proof that my grandfather had been a German citizen and had his passport and everything, his German passport. So, and I had like a some kind of pass book of his. So,
So after you submitted the form and all the documents, sort of what was the process like after that?
There was, I'm trying to think. I remember. So I did this for my children as well. Because if you start the process when your children are under 16, they don't have to do their own independent process. And I think the first time I went, I had not brought their American passports. And then I did bring their American passports, or I brought copies, but they needed the original. And I thought they didn't make it clear that, like, I thought I had to go back three times, but I actually only had to go back once. They said, oh, you can just, or I think the second time I went back, I was able to just drop them off. I didn't need to like wait for a month to get an appointment, which is was a pain in the neck, especially during the pandemic. They said, oh, you can make an appointment in this little area, like of the website that you can get pretty quickly. So, yeah, there were one or two follow-up appointments at the consulate in New York where I live. So that wasn't a huge burden for me. And then they sent off the materials, and then it was awaiting. I think they said it'll be 6 months to a year. And then I don't know, about 9 months later, I got an email that our applications had been accepted and inviting me to a naturalization ceremony at the consulate in New York.
Well, could you talk about that? What was that like, and what happened? What was your experience of that?
Yeah, that was fascinating. So I didn't know who to expect or what to expect. It turned out to be everyone there had gotten their reclaimed the citizenship lost, that was taken away from their parents or grandparents or great grandparents through this Article 116, and or was it 114? I should know this. I did say I'm a lawyer up front. And I think everyone's parents had been, or ancestors had been stripped because they were Jewish. Yes, I'm sure of it because the consul general said that. And it was, like cocktails, passed hors d'oeuvres. They had kosher food. The consul general gave a speech that was very moving, talked about And it acknowledged that this reclaiming of citizenship, that, we all have, may have done it for different reasons, and may have complex feelings about it. But for him and for Germany, we were sort of giving them a gift and allowing them to make some repair, which I thought was interesting. I mean, I didn't know how, if I wanted to allow them to make some repair, but I appreciated the acknowledgement of, that of the complexity for us. And he talked about, having looked at, like looked into the history of some of the families who were reclaiming their citizenship that day, and where they came from and what they did and how, they were ordinary German citizenship citizens until they were not. So, I thought it was a sort of, it was it felt very real, and definitely emotional. And then we got our certificates. I can send you a picture of getting a certificate and posing with the certificate. And he and his staff just sort of went around and asking people, what's your story? What's your family's story? And people were talking about, people were talking to each other about their family's stories. And it was just, it was really interesting to meet people and hear why they decided to do it and where their grandparents had come from. And there were some other people doing it with their children, some people who'd done it separately with, from their children, and now they were doing it with their for their children. So it was a kind of intergenerational mix. There
How
were
do you,
British people there who did it because of Brexit, so.
returned to Germany to visit since becoming a citizen?
I have not. So I will say, in terms of the legal stuff and the process, there's a separate process getting the passport. So you get that naturalization certificate. I decided to go to the ceremony and get it there, but you can also have it, them just mail it to you. But then you have to apply separately for a passport, which is again going to the consulate and bringing the documentation that you have to bring to get a passport. And it is, because it's your first time and you're not renewing, and you haven't been a citizen before, and I got my citizenship under this law. There, it again, the standards are relaxed, but that's another appointment, and they have a, you have to bring the passport photos and all that fun stuff. So, I didn't get around to doing that for a while, and in fact, I've now done it for myself and one of my kids, and now need to do it for the other. And then I can go, and I don't have a plan yet. I mean, I've heard amazing things about Berlin. I would love to visit Berlin. Certainly will visit the towns where my grandparents are from. Yeah, so I don't have that plan yet, but I'm, excited to be able to.
I wonder if you have any thoughts or advice for people in a similar situation, like things you didn't know before you started the process
Yeah.
that would have been helpful, or maybe just kind of things that you experienced or felt during the process that might help people, or that might be something that they would want to know about.
Yeah. In terms of the document, I mean, first of all, I would say you can do it yourself. You don't need a lawyer. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I am a lawyer, and maybe I don't think you need to be a lawyer to be able to do this. But again, it did help that my, I had all the documents easily accessible. The other thing is that, I mean, they are, like, it is a process where they are supposed to help you. So if the, if you're not zillions of miles away from a consulate and can afford to go more than once, I wouldn't hesitate to do it without a lawyer. And I will also say that when I reached out to the consulate by email, they were very helpful, very quick to respond and to answer my questions. And it turned out things were simpler than I thought. For I didn't need to wait another month for a follow-up appointment, things like that. But I had to ask by email sometimes. Oh, in terms of feelings, I mean, when I went to the consulate the first time to with all these documents to sort of ask for my citizenship back, it was very emotional. Just walking through the metal detector, walking in. Yeah, I would just sort of be gentle with yourself, is what I would say, and make a lot of space for whatever is going to come up. And I have to say, my experience was that people were pretty kind at the consulate. But who knows? That's not necessarily everyone else's experience. And if you have an opportunity to go to the naturalization ceremony, go. Don't just have them send you the form. It's kind of a neat experience. So,
Well,
that's what I would recommend.
well, Naomi, thank you so much for coming on the program to talk about this. I mean, this is helpful for me, thinking about the process, and I'm sure it'll be helpful for listeners in similar circumstances. And I hope it encourages some of them to think about possibly going through this process themselves.
I'm also happy to answer questions if people want to find me. All right. Great to talk with you.